Please. And we're going to read together God's word from Luke chapter 6, verses 47 and 48. Luke chapter 6, verses 47 and 48. Let's read it together in unison. These are the words of Jesus. I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. You may be seated. One of the most important aspects of Jesus' ministry on earth was his teaching ministry. He came to this world so that you and I today can be the recipients of new life in him, that whoever believes in him, as John 3:16 says, should not perish but have everlasting life. He accomplished that through his death on the cross. And we just celebrated Easter about a month ago. Thought of the cross and we thought of the resurrection and how that's represented in our lives today. But he came to do more than just die for our sins. Jesus came also to teach us how to live. And because this is our quandary, as a race, we're not very good at living. We're not very good at putting things into practice. We're not very good at saying who we are and keeping our word sometimes. We really don't know how to live. I don't know about you, but the school of life every single day throws me a curve, and there's always something that I need to know how to live and how to do right and to do in a way that honors God. We don't always know sometimes the right thing to do, such as the decision I'm faced with this week, and that many of you are perhaps faced with in one way or another. And when we do know the right thing to do, we're not always real good at doing it. And so to do good and how to do that good is good to think about. And it's good to be able to reflect on that for a few moments this morning. We are in our fourth week as we think about Jesus, the Son of God, as we think of him this morning as the one who is up close and personal. And how we get up close and personal with him is learning from his word, because he is our master teacher. And I want us to think a few moments this morning on the implications of that. As we study the nature of Christ, who he is, what he was, and what he came to do, and what it means to be his follower, and what that means in terms of him being our master teacher. I had a lot of good teachers in school. I had a lot of good teachers that I really gave them a miserable time as well. I remember one Catholic nun that was my teacher once, and she, you could see her getting red in her face, her neck, and it would be barometer rising, because I was able to raise her temperature perhaps more than any other student in the class. And I gave her, she earned her keep, put it that way. She earned her salary as far as me being one of her students, because I was horrible in math. I hated math, and I still do to this day. Give me a history book or an English book or something like that, no problem. But math, absolutely not. We have a teacher this morning who is here before us in God's Word. And sometimes we fail to recognize the fact that not only did Jesus came to liberate us and to save us from our sin, but he came to teach us how to live our lives every single day. So there's some implications. We want to look at Jesus the teacher. Have you ever struggled with the question, what does it really mean to live the Christian life? What does it mean to live a holy life? What does it mean? What does God expect of me? And how does He want me to live in a world that is so hostile to the good news of the gospel? In the teachings of Jesus, you will find the answers to these questions. God's word is so practical. And as we study the gospels, every single day when I study, when I read God's word, when I read the gospels, I find from the words of Jesus a lot of clarity, a lot of purpose, and a lot of direction. And I believe the decision that I have to make this week will be a decision that will hopefully, and Lord willing, be one that will come from God's word, from the teachings of Jesus himself. Because there has never been a situation, a quandary, or a problem that I've faced where I haven't tried to go and find the word, the words that the Lord Jesus wants for me to be able to incorporate in that decision. There are times we'll be confronted with attitudes and situations that are a little bit cumbersome. There are situations that we need to confront when we have to have a solid foundation for the teachings of Christ. And I believe that we need to establish a foundation in our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, you heard it said all the time that Jesus was a great teacher. So, just for a moment, let's think about how he did that, his style of teaching, and how he, what his style was like back during the days when the Gospels were written. His most common style of teaching was telling stories, wasn't it? The Bible's word for that would be a parable. He taught in parables. In other words, he gave an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He taught in parables all the time. He just used a lot of stories that would exemplify and teach a spiritual truth that would make a difference for those who heard him. I like how the Living Bible explains it in Mark chapter 4, verse 2. And it says this, that his usual method of teaching was to tell people stories. Do you know anybody that tells a lot of stories? I know people tell stories, but they may not be true stories. They may not always give the exact truth to them all. But there are those who give good stories. I know of a couple of people. There's a guy I listen to on the radio coming up here some Sunday mornings. His name is John McDonald. He's 5600 a.m. on the radio band on Sunday mornings. He's also on Saturday morning. He is known as Maine's chief storyteller. He can tell you a lot of stories about situations, about events that have happened in the history of the state of Maine. And I just love listening to those stories. We can tell stories, but many times we don't listen to the stories that Jesus tells us because we're a little bit out in the dark. And we're asking, well, what's he really trying to say here? What's he trying to tell us? What is he talking about when he talks about good soil and bad soil? About the man who planted a wheat field and discovered that his enemy had come in and planted weeds among the wheat. What's he trying to tell us there? He talks about how a woman baking bread needs to put a little yeast in the dough so that when it rises and placed in the oven. He talked about how all the smallest kinds of seed, talk about the mustard seed. What's Jesus really trying to tell us in the parable of the mustard seed? What's he talking about the man who owned 100 sheep and lost one and he went out looking for it, just so he could have that one sheep come back? What kind of message is there in that kind of a story? What's he talking about with the owner of the vineyard's story that he tells, who hired day laborers throughout the day and paid them all the same wage and on and on? So many stories, so many parables given to us in the New Testament, in the Gospels. The stories of Jesus have something like a time release effect on some people. They're like spiritual seeds planted into the hearts of listeners. The story is always easy to remember. But if the listener doesn't understand it, if the listener does not want to understand it, even if the listener doesn't understand its meaning at first, it becomes real later on, perhaps, in many situations. Those who seek to know the truth will eventually have the sort of a wake-up moment, if you will, or a aha moment, where they might say, now I get it. Now I get it. And that kind of happens to me all the time. When I read a parable, sometimes I go back to it and I say, I understand it this time. I may not have understood it before, but I really understand what it means now, because it becomes something that's personal in my own life. Another method that Jesus used in teaching were what I quote, memorable sayings. Jesus used all kinds of statements that sort of boggle the mind a little bit and causes you to think. And that's what Jesus wanted to do. He wanted his disciples to think for themselves. He didn't want to hand them everything on a silver platter. He wanted them to be able to think. And he used statements like, do to others as you would have them do to you, from Luke chapter 6, verse 31. Or a statement like this, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. Now think about that. He wants you to think about that. Another one that he says, that he makes a statement on the Sermon on the Mount. Judge not, that you be not judged. Many times we misinterpret that one big time. But he gives all kinds of statements. He's saying, his sayings are short and to the point. And he does that just to catch our attention, to cause us to think. But he also taught lessons through the events of daily life. He used every day, almost every day, to teach a lesson. He saw some children, he called them to him, and he taught them with faith what faith really means. He would sit down with a group of people, and he would draw in the sand, lines in the sand, and he would draw pictures, and he would illustrate through a simple object lesson, a great and important spiritual truth. That was the way Jesus taught. The Bible also says he taught as one who had authority as well. He taught as one who had credibility, who had purpose. And so all through the Gospels, you know, there's a story, he saw a widow drop two small coins in the offering plate. And he used that to illustrate an important point about giving, and about giving to the purposes of God. And the story about the Pharisees, or he witnessed this himself, the Pharisees who brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And he used that moment to teach about forgiveness and to teach about grace and what that is and how important that is. A man comes asking to be healed on the Sabbath. And after Jesus heals him, he talks about the dangers of legalism. And so many, many illustrations, many, many different stories throughout the Gospels about his teaching ministry, about the very important events of life, of everyday life. Now, what can you expect when you read the Gospels? When you read the Gospels and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what can you expect in return? What do you expect God do in your heart and in your life to teach you about his nature and about his character and about his purpose, and how he wants you to live out your life in a day that's so hostile to the gospel? Well, if you'll forgive me this morning, I am going to just vary a little bit, because I'm not going to give you 3 points. Yeah, I know. I'm going to give you 5 points. But they're very short. They're very short. All right? So if you want to write them down, that'd be fine, okay? Here's what you can expect when you read the words of Jesus, when you read the Gospels. Number one is that you will be challenged to take a closer look. Whenever you open God's Word, whenever you read the Gospels, whenever you think about the life of Christ, whenever you read His words that are printed in red in so many of our Bibles, it ought to cause us to take a closer look. A man said to Jesus, "I will follow you, but first let me bury my father." What an interesting statement. I will follow you, but I have to bury my father. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to let you go home and find that out for yourself, because this is what the question is, why would Jesus say that? There's a reason behind it. And one time he said to a Gentile woman, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Why would Jesus say that? Why would he make that known? Another time, when a man called Jesus a good teacher, Jesus replied, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but God." Now, why would Jesus say that? Why would he come up with that? You know, would he be hallucinating or what? Sometimes his followers thought he was way off on another planet. Sometimes they thought he was really out to lunch in some of the things he said. But the things that Jesus said, he said it for a purpose. And that purpose was to cause his hearers to dig in a little deeper. Many of his teachings are straightforward and direct. They require absolutely no interpretation at all. But sometimes you'll encounter stories and sayings that will cause you to scratch your head a little bit and question what Jesus is up to. And when you read the Gospels, expect to be able to take a closer look, to dig in a little further. And that's what I want to encourage you to do, to dig in a little further. Just don't take it at surface value. Secondly, there's this. You will also be challenged to take a second look. Not just to dig in a little more, but to take a second look. And a third look. And a fourth look. And on and on. Here's what I'm saying. The gospel stories are so richly layered that you can keep coming back to them and discover something new every time. Has anybody ever read a portion of Scripture and then maybe 2 weeks later or a month later you've gone back to that same portion of Scripture and you got something totally different out of it? Totally different. It's something new, something fresh. I try not to preach the same sermon. Sometimes I've got 27 years of sermons in boxes scattered throughout the house. And my wife wants to have a big burning party someday out in the back lawn because it's taking up so much space. Because I catalog all my sermons and I got some of them on, many of them on computer and saved and so on and so forth. But I actually save my paper copies of my messages. And maybe someday I'll write a book. I don't know. But I've preached through the 23rd Psalm, and I've taken several weeks to preach it through, and many times. I haven't done it here, not yet. You do that sometime. And every time I preached through the 23rd Psalm, I took 10 weeks when I was filling into a church in Scarborough back a couple of years ago. I took 10 weeks, and I preached through the 23rd Psalm. And people were amazed because they didn't realize there was so much in the 23rd Psalm. I don't know about you, but every time I open God's Word, I find something new. I find something fresh. I find something that's just mind-blowing some days. And I can read it over and over again, and I don't find it, and then I go back to it, and I see it, and it's just like a light comes on. And that's the same thing in the teachings of Jesus. He causes us to take a second look and to look deeper. The third thing is that you'll be challenged to take, not just be able to dig deeper and take a second look, but you'll be challenged to take an inward look. God wants you to look at yourself. That's the purpose of His Word. You'll discover in the gospel stories and the teachings of Jesus that He's talking about you. He is. When I open God's Word, I can see myself written all over these pages because I know God is speaking to me through His Spirit. I don't know why that is, whether it's you can call it a guilt complex or what it is, or however you may define it, I don't know. But I can take God's word and I can say, God is saying something to me. And He's saying something directly. And sometimes He just kind of knocks me over the head with it. And I have to take notice of it. And I have to give it attention. You see, His stories aren't designed to tell us how bad all those other people are. His stories are not designed to tell us how better we are than others, or how the world would be a better place if the world was a lot more like us. No, when you read the Gospels, you get the impression that Jesus is talking to you about you. That's where He's at. He's talking to you about you. He's talking to me about me. And, you know, you may have heard it, that, you know, when you point your finger somewhere, you got three pointing back at yourself. I've always tried to live by that rule because I know I've got issues of my own in my own life, and I'm no saint. And I'm not always perfect. But I do know that when God speaks to me through His Word, it's as though He's having an interview with me. And He's telling me exactly what I need to know and what I need to be aware of. So we're doing personal inventory when we're reading from the Gospels. Jesus challenges us to look inwardly at our hearts and our thoughts and our attitudes and our words and our desires and our motives. And Lord only knows that many times those motives and those desires and those attitudes are way out of kilter. Way out of kilter. I was able to counsel with a young lady at work yesterday who was down in the dumps, and she just had a very poor attitude about herself. And I told her, and I reminded her the words of Chuck Swindoll, and she probably never heard of Chuck Swindoll. And Chuck Swindoll said this: your attitude determines your altitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. And I quoted her that, and I told her that, and it kind of picked her up a little bit. And that's so true. But here's the fourth thing. You'll be challenged to do something else when you read the Gospels. You will be challenged to move out of your comfort zone. That's what God wants of us. He wants us to move out of our comfort zone. The stories that are here in the Gospels aren't just light and fluffy, feel-good stories. Everybody likes something that's feel-good. Everybody likes to have fluffy stories told to them. Everybody likes to feel good about this, that, or anything else. The gospel stories are not necessarily to make us feel good or to feel fluffy or anything like that. Though you'll hear many words of comfort and teachings of inspiration and blessing from Jesus Himself, you will also hear Jesus calling you out. You will hear Him calling you outside your comfort zone to love those you're not inclined to love. He'll call you to give when you're not inclined to give. He'll call you to obey when you're not inclined to obey. All of these truths. To pray when you're not inclined to pray. He wants to call you out of your comfort zone. He does that every time when I open His Word. He challenges us to persevere when you're tempted to quit. To stand in faith when you're ready to crumble in doubt, and to hold fast to hope when everyone around you seems to be in a state of despair. You see, that's the significance of reading the Gospels, the words of Jesus, who is our master teacher. And here's the final point. Yes, number five. He's challenging us to take action. To take action. It's not just something to read God's Word. It's not just something to understand and to acknowledge that Jesus is the greatest teacher that ever lived. But He's calling us to take action. And We're called to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Jesus taught no theory. He only taught practical application. Practical application. That's all this is. It's the rule book to live by. You live by this book, you put this book into practice, and let me tell you, you will have a life that is very fruitful, that is very productive, that is wholesome, that is genuine, that is true. And you will be fulfilled inwardly, outwardly, in every way imaginable. Jesus said this in Matthew 7, verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who does the will of the Father who sent me." And he went on to say, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock." The wise man built his house upon the rock. And you know what happened when the foolish man built his house upon the sand, right? He crashed down. God wants us to build our house upon the rock, our lives upon the rock. And the rock is the Lord Jesus. And he wants us to put his word into practice every single day. Well, those are my 5 points this morning. But how do we begin? And this is point number 6. How do we begin? I'm sorry, Bill. How do we begin? Well, let me offer to you a suggestion. And I know I can get a little bit long-winded sometimes. I don't hear many amens, but I'll say it myself. Here's what we need to do. I want to challenge you to do this. In the next 30 days, I want you to put God to the test and say, "Lord, I want to spend just a few minutes every day reading some words of the Gospels." You can start in John 10 or John 1 or the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. It's not really the amount you read. And I keep telling myself this. It's not the amount, it's not the quantity, but it's the quality. Take a short snippet of God's Word, of the Gospel, of the words of Jesus, written in red, if you have a red line Bible, and listen to what Jesus is saying to you. When you sit down, when you make your coffee in the morning, get up at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever you get up, people might sleep into 7 or 8 or whatever, you can still do it. Get up. But take a few moments and just read a little bit from God's Word. Just a couple of verses. And let it saturate your minds. I want to encourage you to do that for the next 30 days. I'm doing it right now. And it's become a blessing. It really has. It will change our perspective. It'll help us to grow in our understanding of who Jesus is and how much He really loves us. You see, for a church to get healthy, we got to fall in love with Jesus again. We got to fall in love with Him. He has to be the anchor of our soul. If we're not connected to the vine, as we were talking about in our adult Sunday school class this morning, then we're not connected at all. We have to have that relationship with Him. I want to ask you this morning, do you have that relationship with Jesus Christ? If you don't, you need to. You need to know Him in your heart. You need to be growing in your walk with Him. You need to be rejoicing in the great things that He has to teach you. He is the master teacher. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you for what you want to do in our hearts. As we allow you to be our teacher, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're able to take your word and apply it to our lives, that we're able to trust you for it. And we thank you, Lord, that even in these next few days, that we will commit ourselves, Lord, to just take a few verses of Scripture every day and allow you to teach us something new, some new truth about what it means to walk with you in the beauty of your holiness. And so, Lord, this is our prayer today. This is our desire to grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.